No, I've enjoyed working with you, and the door is still open for another collaboration one day.
Cheers. Yeah, well, maybe this is it.
this podcast.
Maybe this is it. This is as far as you and I go. I think after 4 days of editing the audio without any sleep, you might never want to hear from me again, I think. Saying it, there must be a. I think there was a funny bit. Oh no, he's talking about society crumbling.
Hey, I'm Michael Ogden, and this is 2269, a podcast about the bigger picture, because life is short, but history is long. In every episode of 2269, we travel with our guests to the past, the present, and the distant future, to the date June 6th, 2269. Thanks for joining us as we cover 250 years in the next 30 minutes. Today's episode is called Inevitable Massive Success. You'll find out why. And also, the Boston Globe just wrote a feature about this very project. Do give it a read. The article is called Party Like It's 2269. It came out last week in the Sunday edition, online and in print. We thought the Globe might feature a few quotes from us on long-term thinking, so it was a great and welcome surprise to see 2269 mentioned in the headline. Our thanks to journalist Linda Rodriguez McRobbie for writing such a thoughtful and fun piece. Now, you can always reach us at the email address team@2269.co. And if you don't have an invitation to the greatest party of all time but would like one, all the details about this never-been-done-before experiment in time and long-term thinking project can be found at our website, 2269.co. If you do have an invitation, thank you for putting it up, keeping it up, and passing it on. Hope you're all doing okay. Thanks for listening. Today, I'm excited to welcome Chris Day, writer, comic, animator, and published author. He's based in the UK. Chris runs the creative studio Little Creature. I've known Chris for 20 years, but this will be the first time I get a chance to interview him. What an opportunity. Hey, Chris Day.
Hey, it certainly is. It's a pleasure to be here, Mike.
Oh, thanks. How are you? I'm feeling good. I definitely am looking forward to getting on a road trip with you to the future. You know, we've known each other for a long time, but I'm sure there's some stories that are going to be new for me today.
This is great. Well, thanks for the intro. It was very touching.
How would you introduce yourself?
I'd say I'm in my mid-40s and I'm a multi-untalented creative, I think. I'm multi-untalented.
You call yourself on your website, littlecreature.org, a full-time thought merchant.
Yes, I'm freelance thinkersizer and purveyor of whimsy to the stars.
Are your clients buying into that jargon?
No, they all think I'm a prick. But, you know, I mean, it pays the bills. I mean, not my prick doesn't pay the bills. That pitch does work a treat. Now, I do actually, with my work, I always try to be quite myself with people. Mm. You know, I like to be quite myself with everyone, really, but especially with clients. And so then they know what they're getting. And if they don't like it, they can, you know, leave me alone.
Well, today we're going to get cozy. We're going to jump into this little makeshift time machine, and your seat is there on the left. I'm going to jump in on the right, and we're going to travel to your past, present, distant future. Do you have a few things that you want to bring along with you, that you want to pass on to your ancestors? You got a little backpack?
I've got a small holdall, yes, which is holding several things.
Okay, good. Now, the choice of the destination is up to you. Now, where's a place that you want to go to for this great party that you want to visit in the future, a place that you hope survives the next 250 years? Where do you want to go?
That's a good question. It'd be nice to say, you know, Rio or the beaches of Cancun, Sugarloaf Mountain or whatever it's called. But I think for something with a bit more resonance, I think it has to be Bath, where I live. Yeah, it's been very good to me and I've met lots of lovely people here and we're settled. I live here with my family. And so I would love to see if it survived. So I'd love to see if it's still around. It's sort of on relatively high ground and we should be all right on that level. So I think I would choose the center of Bath.
Is there one thing you would recommend if someone goes to Bath that they got to see? What would you take them to?
One of my favorite spots, so there's loads of countryside around that's just amazing and rolling hills and beautiful walks and stuff like that. There's a great view right over Bath from Alexandra Park, which looks down right on top of Bath. And I'd say that's a great place to pop and look down on people.
Perfect. Okay, well, let's go there. Get in the, hop into your seat.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortable?
Yeah,
I'm going to strap in. Okay, do you see that little, do you see that lever, that rather large kind of chunky lever?
I was wondering what that was, actually.
Yeah, that's what that's for. Once you pull that down, this time machine's going to take off and hold on to your seats, and we're going to whiz back, slingshotting back in time to the decade in which you were born.
Oh, my God, a slingshot whiz. That's one of my biggest fears.
Pull that lever.
Okay.
To this.
Oh, my hair.
Your hair is even taller than normal.
I've just got a hair. It's waving in front of me. Oh, thank you. That was,
you can see.
Oh, that was real. That was real.
So now it starts to settle a little bit. We start to get an equilibrium, but we are definitely moving at pace. And now we are flying through the decade in which you were born. So we slingshot back and then head into the future. What decade are we looking at when you look out the window? What decade were you born in, Chris?
Well, I fully understand what's happening. I was born in the 70s. So okay. Running through the decades, that's a really nice way to make me feel even older than I am. So there are five of them. And I was born in 1974 in Letchworth, which is officially the world's first garden city.
What's just one memory per decade? What memory comes to mind, 1970s?
I think it has to be frolicking in the daisy-strewn safety of the summer garden in the house, and frolicking mainly, and just being safe and secure and being looked after and rooted to the family home, which had a lot of history, family history. And my mother still lives there, so it's kind of like, yeah, and I was born in the house, so it's kind of the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, as no one says.
1980s, as we're kind of continuing through, Chris, what do you look at? What was the memory?
Well, I spent most of the decade trying to escape that infuriatingly idyllic world, which was just unbearable, really, to be honest. So I just wanted something to rebel against. But my main memory, I think, is two. One is waiting for my parents to stop talking to their friends after a church service, being surrounded by incurably old women at church coffee mornings, but really escaping through obsessing over toys and drawing comics mostly comic covers. I didn't get much further than that, but then I did a like 35 page comic of my own when I was 10 and doing all that stuff and immersing myself in everything that America had to offer, which I was obsessed by. American football, Star Wars, Rocky, Motown, you know, all that stuff. And so all the escaping was going on in my tiny brain.
What was the title of that comic book you wrote, the 35 pages?
It was Zorko the Alien.
Beautiful.
It's just yet to be optioned, but it's in the, I think it's Marvel phase 12. It's going to kick in, but that was that was one of the few times where I've actually sort of started something and finished it.
And does Zorko have a happy ending?
I think I know what you mean. So that kind of comic, it does. There's a big sing-song at the end in sort of Asterix style. A kind of everyone laughs like they do at the end of Scooby-Doo. And there's a little bit of love interest for Zorko. So it's much more interesting to describe than to look at.
I'm sure that's not true. Okay, 1990s, Chris. As you look out the window, what do you see?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, there's one main thing, obviously, which is obsessing over art history and Velázquez and the Pre-Raphaelites. And I stepped up my pretension, really. And my biggest ambition was to have a girlfriend and to paint an altarpiece.
Were they in priority order?
I didn't realize the two were mutually exclusive. So on the painting, and I went to uni and met a girl who I instantly secured as a life partner with the contract and everything.
2000s.
Are we there already? I married said life partner and we sired.
So you and Vicky stayed together?
We stayed together through thick and thin. And we had two beautiful children, which is pretty important, I guess. And
that so you guess.
I think anyone who's creative is a little bit nervous about children and family, because if you reduce life to being as simple as that, then it's a bit embarrassing. You should be craving some kind of adrenaline rush of the opening night and the book launch. But actually, if I could just have a walk in the countryside with my family, I'd be pretty happy with that. so maybe I'm not as creative as I think. But I'd probably cherry-pick the ages, though. I wouldn't have them as they are now. I'd probably have them when they were at their best.
So what are those ages?
Well, I think when they're younger, there's a perfect spot between them being able to walk and not complain, and then being able to engage in conversation and not put headphones on or go on TikTok. So I think probably somewhere about sort of 5 years ago, I was quite happy, I think.
2010s, Chris. So what do you see?
So the 2010s is, I wish I could say this is the decade I've fulfilled my glittering potential and won prizes and had action figures made myself, but it has mostly been family stuff, watching the kids grow up. And sadly, I've had a few deaths in the family as well. So a bit of a brush with death, and which I hadn't experienced before. So my dad and my grandparents, but even in that way, there was some positives to be had there in the manner of the family all reacted to it. And I think we did pretty well.
I remember reading what you wrote for your dad for his eulogy. That was quite special.
Yeah, it was a big deal to, it's a tough audience, and to deliver that and, get them weeping with laughter was really hard. But yeah, no, it was an interesting experience. Definitely shaped me quite a bit and shook me up a bit, but also made me, grateful for what I got.
What does 2020, what's the decade so far look like for you? And what do you think about what's ahead?
Oh man! Well, I think it's time. I really have got to make good on all my glittering potential. So it's got to be a big decade for me. And I think, by the end of it, Vic and I will be empty nesters, and the kids will be off at university and traveling the world, working for the government, and starting World War III. So we'll be that'll be quite a strange thing. But so I might get a bit more time to just devote to my compendium of left field limericks that I've got planned.
The world awaits.
It does. It'll be amazing.
So I mean, are you optimistic about the future, or are you generally a pessimist?
I think I probably am generally a bit of a pessimist about it. I've got an unshakable faith that people are idiots, and that will always come through, I think.
I'm sure listeners will enjoy that.
Yeah, all people are idiots, says populist Chris Day. I don't necessarily say that in a negative way, because I think there's something glorious about people being foolish and being able to make mistakes, being illogical and being fanciful, whimsical. I think it's kind of what separates us from the monkeys. And I think as the world becomes more automated and more AI takes over and our habits get more shaped by all these things, I just think we'll inevitably celebrate the things that make us human. And one of those things is just silliness, randomness, left field stuff. And I think that'll be quite an interesting, whether that dictates the tune that we're playing as the ship goes down, or whether it actually creates a new path. I don't know.
Just curious about that for a second, which is the level of anarchy, like how much anarchy you would welcome in your life, because you've got, you've started your own company, you've got a home, you've got a lovely wife and lovely kids, and you've got a very kind of, organized life in some respects. And yet, your desire for kind of anarchy and chaos and whimsy and all that, like how much of that would you really want? Are you ready for that? Would you like to have a holiday of anarchy?
Yeah, I want to destroy everything that I have. I want to burn it all down to the ground. And I chose this podcast to announce that to the world. I thought it was the best way to do it.
Hi, guys. This is Tinsy Leon. I'm huge in the late 22nd century, and I endorse 2269. Get your own copy of the poster and make plans for the greatest party of all time at 2269.co.
So, Chris, I've got a quick road trip game for you. We're on the road, we're traveling on our way to the greatest party of all time, a rapid fire round, and it's called Who Will Be Remembered?
Let's do this.
I'm going to give you some random names, and you're going to tell me who you think will still be remembered 250 years from now, and see if you can spot the link between these four names. Ready?
Cool. Yep, let's do it.
Who will be remembered amongst these four? Billy Crystal, Billie Holiday, Billy the Kid, or Billy Joel?
I think I see the... Well, ironically, you've chosen one of my all-time favourite artists of all time favourites, which is not Billy Crystal.
Billy the Kid?
But Billie Holiday is my all-time best kind of ever singer, you know, whatnot. Mm. And one of my Desert Island Discs would definitely be Without Your Love, which is her, one of her songs. Mm. And so I would choose Billie the Kid Holiday.
Oh, nice.
Well, look, also known as Lady Day.
Lady Day, after Chris Day.
Yeah, very well, much my wife.
I have another fun fact for you, which is Billie Holiday once babysat Billy Crystal.
Oh, my God.
And he credits her for taking him to the movies for the very first time.
Wow. How the hell did that happen? Is that true?
Fun facts. Yeah, totally true. Well,
I can't remember her kind of having a babysitting stage to her career, you know. And she wasn't the most reliable of people. I wouldn't like necessarily leave my kids with Billie Holiday, really, to be honest, in case they end up hooked on methadone or something.
Chapter 17, the autobiography of Billie Holiday, includes the babysitting days.
Oh, man, I'll get to that.
Cool, Chris. Thanks for playing. Who will be remembered?
That was over quickly. Did I win?
You did win, Chris. You did. You name your prize.
I'd like a donut, please, Brian.
Donut is yours.
Thank you.
All right, Chris, by now we've traveled nearly 200 years in the future, so we're only a few minutes away from arriving in the big day. I know you've brought a few things here in the time machine with you to pass on to your ancestors, a few things that might, you know, mean something to you from your time, some favorite cultural artifacts. What do you have in your bag that you would like to pass on?
Right, well, I've got something about me is that I'm completely sentimental. I'm very attached to objects. Hmm. And if I was a burglar, I'd be the worst burglar in the world because I'd steal everything for sentimental value. Mm. So I love nothing more than finding a box of stuff and things and trinkets and tidbits from the past, and it'll immediately conjure a time and a place. So I think if I could, I've got a box that I've got some sketchbooks in there, so people can leaf through those and find out how strange I was, and hopefully it'll make them, you know, chuckle and you know, be slightly surprised. And I'd have some photos in there. I've got a little badge of my grandfather's that he wore in his uniform in the war. And I'd also have probably a copy of, if I had to have a book in there, I'd have a copy of A Tintin in Tibet, which is my basically my favorite book. And that's, again, a little bit childish, maybe to some people, but it's the most beautiful comic book, I think. And it's very emotional, and it's all about being rescued and about affection between Tintin and his friend Chang. And it's a very moving book that was written while Hergé was getting divorced and going through an emotionally tough time. So it's quite I think it would be quite a powerful artifact to leave behind, just in case comics and graphic novels and cartoons are all kind of long in the dust by then. So all of it in a little box to be discovered and leafed through by some greedy, sentimental descendant.
That's a nice thing to pass on. And what about a song to add to the party playlist for the big day? Do you have a song you can check?
Well, I've got really weird tastes for music and not at all cool or consistent, particularly listening to music while working and stuff like that. So I love early jazz and electronic stuff. Techno prance is a big thing.
I'm not sure that is a thing.
Well, it is for me. An excuse. So it's got to be something party music. So I'm not sure what, in terms of a party track. I think for a party and to get everyone on the dance floor, I think I'd be something more laid back and funky, which just sums me up. So I would choose Love Will Bring Us Back Together by Roy Ayres, and it appears on the epic album Destination Motherland.
Nice.
Which I think is also called the best of Roy Ayres. Shows what a dedicated Roy Ayres fan I am. But no, that's a great
Roy Ayres fan.
Oh dear, that sums me up. So yeah, Love Will Bring Us Back Together by Roy Ayres, and it's just very funky and lilting and non-judgmental.
I love that tune. Yeah, that's a good one. Anything else in that bag there, Chris, before we arrive? Is there a joke that you hope survives?
No. Maybe that's my leaving my sketchbooks for the future is probably the biggest gag of the 22nd century.
No, I love that.
The very thought that I thought I was interesting enough.
What would you make if you just didn't care about the audience?
Nothing. Because the fuel is that it will be seen. Mm. Because you want a reaction. Without that reaction, you'd never do anything. So it's when you do something, when you make something and you say, I can't wait to show this to so-and-so, or I can't wait for this to be seen generally, and to see what people think. And
but surely
there's a thrill there.
You've got artists who you admire who you know didn't have any success in their lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. But they have, and if you're a purist kind of artist, you just make stuff and you judge it yourself, and maybe your peers judge it, and you get some kind of acceptance that way. But I think if Gauguin liked one of Van Gogh's paintings, that meant a lot more to him than knowing 100 years from his death they were worth millions. And I think the 20th century changed things quite a bit, because suddenly it all became about the audience, and film is a big factor in that. I think we're surrounded by people who are overachieving all the time and broadcasting perfection from their Instagram and Facebook and whatnot. And I literally can't look at social media without feeling a bit depressed. And so it's a strange time. On one level, there's an explosion of creativity, an explosion of people producing stuff and excelling. And at the same time, it should be the best time for someone like me who likes to just do things on a whim. Yeah. But at the same time, it feels like the worst time because everyone's doing it. And there's no heroism in going off down the tangent anymore because everyone's doing it. And maybe there aren't any tangents left. I'm trying to keep a lid on the whole resentment, regret, and bitterness thing.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say embrace your weirdness, Chris. You've got wonderful weird. I think you've got more weirdness to offer.
That's very sweet. That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Do you know what?
I've got my silly little ideas in my sketchbook.
I think I figured you out. I think are you afraid of success?
The thought of my inevitable massive success does weigh quite heavily on me. I, in many respects, I wish I could be free of it, but I can't shake it off. I will be a victim of my own inevitable success, and it haunts my every move. Sometimes I wish I'd just like not bother and just stay in bed all day, but
are you good at putting pressure on yourself?
Well, I do, but in a sort of I think as soon as I get anywhere close to satisfying it, I make a massive sofa out of laurel leaves and recline in a very flamboyant way for the next few years. So I'm simultaneously my kind of harshest critic and my biggest cheerleader, really. And I get the two confused sometimes. I could be a really harsh cheerleader. That's the worst thing.
That is the worst thing. Yeah, you don't want a harsh cheerleader.
I've got the outfit and everything.
Chris, what are your thoughts on this 2269 project that we're doing?
I love it, obviously. It'd be rude not to. But I do genuinely think it's a great idea. Because I'm very sentimental, especially over objects and heirlooms and stuff. But there are no artifacts from the future, obviously, because sentimentality doesn't really work in that direction. So I think it's great because it's a future artifact. And by having something that is an heirloom of the future, it just makes the future tangible and gives you a reason to look after the present, I guess.
That's a cool way to look at it.
And we've had it up in the house for a couple of years now, really, I suppose.
You've got the print framed?
I got the print framed. I've got it up in pride of place and with a sign saying, in case toilet paper runs out, do not use this. I think it's been a great conversation starter. So we've had loads of conversations in my house, like don't touch it or how much. So it's triggered a lot of discussion.
I'm happy to hear that.
It's pretty good, and it's great to if you think about the future, it's usually clouded in a kind of mist of fear and slightly depressive sort of anxiety about things, and it just giving you something tangible to focus on, I think is a great way of thinking about the future in a different way. And none of us will be alive in 2069, although that said, I am cryogenically freezing myself, which is expensive.
Well, hey, that's a good move.
I've got an installment plan, so they freeze one tiny part of me each month.
Right.
And, so eventually I'll get there.
What are they starting with?
Well, isn't it obvious? One of my eyes.
One of your eyes.
Yeah, they've frozen my shoulder, and they're moving on to it might be arthritis, but...
I think that this might be middle age, Chris. Yeah, your frozen shoulder.
So I think beyond cryogenics, I think it's something that we definitely won't see, and it makes us conscious of our feeble mortality and our wonderful ancestors.
Hey, if you enjoy the 2269 podcast and you want to help spread the word, a great way to do that is to rate and review the show on iTunes or any podcast platform, because the way it works, the more reviews, the more potential new listeners can hear about the show. Thanks for your help.
So, Mike, it's December now, and in the spirit of Christmas, I've got a gift for you.
Oh.
You know how I like to make things that no one's asked for, like birthday videos,
yes.
Little animations, and mm-hmm. Strange sound effects. I've made something for you and the project as a whole, which is an ad for 2269.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I know in the spirit of the project, I wanted to keep it short and punchy. Mm. And upbeat and exciting.
Hopeful?
So I'm very hopeful. Yeah, okay. drops of hope in there. So I want to play it to you, and I hope you like it. So here it is.
Derek.
Mother.
Derek, darling, I've got some rather sad news for you. Your dad is dead, Derek.
What?
He's dead.
Dad is dead?
He died in a Black Friday crush.
Oh.
It's a new cocktail.
No, not Daddy.
I'm so sorry, Derek.
Daddy.
Dad is dead, Derek. Dad is dead. But there is one silver lining on this cloud. There's something that Father always wanted you to have. It's a poster. A poster inviting you to a party. It's an invitation to a party, Derek.
Oh.
And your father wanted you to have it so much.
But when is the party?
When is it? The party, Derek, is in 2269.
Huh?
That's right. 250 years from now.
Oh, but I'll be 273.
Oh, Derek, you will almost certainly be dead by then. But it's an invitation you can pass on to your family when you die. And they can pass on when they die. And then when they die, they pass it on and on and on until somebody, Derek, somebody lives and sees the party. It will be such a lovely party. Plan for the future, Derek. Plan for the greatest party of all time at 2269.co.
Okay. All right, Chris. Yeah, that was very, very upbeat, very hopeful. That hit all the hallmarks.
I hope you got a lot of posters in stock, because the demand is going to hit the roof.
Poor Derek. I really felt for Derek.
I lived it myself. It was quite emotional.
It was a good little mini drama you've made for us, Chris, there. That is a very generous gift and very deeply weird, but thank you.
Enjoy.
Now, look, Chris, about 250 years later, you can feel that shift in the motion. Now we're starting to arrive. Have you been uncomfortable along this ride, or
it's been nice? So there's been a bit of chafing, but that's mostly nervousness because of all these questions you keep asking.
I've been peppering you. Yeah,
it's been exhausting, but I brought a book with me, but I was hoping I could read that, but obviously not. I'm stuck next to someone who just won't stop talking.
Well, what's your expectation for the day? Like, as we arrive, are you thinking, you know, what would you hope to see on this day, on this greatest party of all time?
Oh, wow. Well, I don't know. I've got a slightly, like I say, I don't really do the future, and I'm not really good at the present, really. So kind of sort of...
Leaves the past. Hey, maybe they'll be celebrating the past.
It's true. I mean, I like to drench myself in the past and dwell on history and family history, and, you know, and I'm a bit of a dweller. You can't be a good dwell. So the future is this strange, unknowable, weird thing. I mean, I'm imagining that everything will be floating. There'll be sort of hovering heads and tinfoil fashion cars will be foldable and pocket-sized. Mm. So I think that's something to look forward to.
I don't want to interrupt you, Chris, but we're coming in for a landing now. Hold on. God.
Okay.
It's going to get a little shaky. Hold up. Okay. Oh, jeez. That's a bit of a jolt, isn't it?
It does, yeah. It does change.
Yeah.
Ooh. Should we have a cigarette?
Yeah. Tell me, I mean, before we open the doors, are you excited about meeting your ancestors?
Well, my biggest worry is maybe we've landed on a futuristic picnic and squashed a bunch of people. So that I've got to check that first when we get out.
Right.
I think I'm not sure I'll recognise my descendants, to be honest. But if there's anyone there with a slap head and frizzy hair with glasses, then I'll probably shake them by the hand.
All right. What do you think we're going to find outside these doors, Chris? Is it going to be a raging party, or what kind of day is it going to be out there? What do you think people are celebrating? What kind of world is out there?
I'm a little bit worried. It's 6th of June, right?
2269. Yep, 6th of June. Yep.
Midday. And so my birthday is the 3rd of June, mm-hmm. and obviously by then I'll be celebrated. So this will be 3 days after Chris Day.
Oh, I see.
And so I think one day might be a little bit kind of, you know, smothered by the hangovers that still exist.
From Chris Day.
Yeah. So I'm a bit worried. 12 o'clock, isn't it? It's an early start if everyone's, you know, a little bit worse for wear. So
I'm thinking it'll be
early days in the party, really.
It'll just be low-key kind of recovering from Chris Day.
Yeah, I'll just be like, let's do it again. Yeah. And yeah, it could be cool. People drifting around. Either that, or if I got it all wrong and this 2269 is as big as it should be, then yeah, I just see it as like 2269 will be a state within itself, like Vatican City. I think there'll be, you know, Ogden Town Hall and statues to you and Pete.
Hilarious.
Deanland Amusement Park. You know, every day's a party. I think it could be really quite oppressive.
That reminds me, Chris, who are you going to pass your invitation to?
Well, you see, I've got two children, so, and I like passing things on to children, mm-hmm. but it's a real dilemma having two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I think death is a sort of quite a strange, abstract concept when you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I would like my children to fight to the death for it.
Oh, my Jesus.
So that way, whoever wants it the most will definitely get it.
Okay.
And the other one can be buried in a mausoleum alongside me, which would be nice. So beyond that, I asked them...
Chris, you could buy two prints. You could buy another one.
I hadn't thought of that.
Well, quite frankly, look, I don't want to see the death of your kids. I could give you another print.
That's very kind. That's what I was after, really. Can I have one with a frame this time?
Do you know what? I think you should have another print. I mean, look, the truth is you were a big part of the project, not only because of your creative counsel, but I only know Peter Dean because of you, because you and I have been friends. And then you and Pete went to art college together. So, you know, the project is indebted. It wouldn't exist without you introducing me to my friend Pete. So there's that. So clearly you deserve at least one more
to avoid this
sibling murder.
I think I would be, yes. I did make Pete what he is today. It's all down to me. So maybe we do that, leave one for each, and I'll just wait for my new one to turn up in the post. Setting a unique precedent, you know, that nobody else obviously can persist on.
No. Okay, good. Chris, I'm going to open up the time machine. And now that we're here, open up these doors. And now you can hear the party in the distance. Can you hear that? No.
Oh, that's just a guy in the bushes. I don't know what he's doing.
So, look, we're going to spend the rest of the afternoon and evening at the greatest party of all time together. Before we go, can I ask you to make a toast? To your ancestors, the generation we're about to meet. Can you pass on some words of wisdom or something as we raise a glass?
Well, I would love to, having just travelled through the ether. Obviously, the strangeness of hurtling through history for 250 years, getting out of a strange object and asking everyone, where's the party? It seems a little bit underwhelming.
How are you feeling?
dizzy and underdress, I think. But I mean, that's me pretty much all the time.
That's my
USP. Nice. So I've got a drink which if I was classy, I would choose like a 400-year-old, you know, quadruple barreled Scotch you know, whiskey effort. Mm-hmm. And I like whiskey, but I've got a particular fondness for a drink that my grandfather used to have. It was his sort of drink. Mm-hmm. He didn't drink a great deal, but it was great to see him with a glass in his hand. And which is like whiskey and American, which is a very straightforward drink, spirit drink. But whenever I drink it, it always reminds me of my granddad. He was just an absolute, you know, legend, really. Mm. I mean, he was real. He wasn't mythical, but he...
he was a real man.
I mean, not a real man, but, you know.
Yeah. What was your grandfather's name?
His name is Harold Stokes.
Okay, Harold Stokes. Okay.
Harold Stokes. And he single-handedly defeated fascism in the sort of 40s era. And he wrote a diary about it just to rub everyone's faces in. And he was just the consummate granddad, you know, slightly portly, always irrelevant, and just very sweet natured and very whimsical. So I'm going to drink a toast to him. So I've got some whiskey. Excellent. Here. You can use any whiskey. This is a mixer drink, so there's no pressure. Okay, so here we go. Here's the whiskey. Mm-hmm. That's the whiskey, and now we've got the ice. Which is always important.
Mm-hmm.
And having a whiskey with ice is just the best, most grown-up feeling in the world. It's almost like...
See, I mean, this time machine may not have it all, but it does have an ice maker, right?
Yeah, it's a nice touch. I like that. And the hand sanitizer was a good move as well. So now we add the ginger ale. This is for the purists. So now we've got a bit of fizz.
Oh, I like this concoction.
So it's quite a complicated thing. It would be better if I just brought a hit flask with some...
No, I like seeing you make it. What is that drink called?
So this is Whiskey and American. Okay. And also, I think it perfectly encapsulates our friendship because it's both American and British. Technically Scottish, but let's say British.
I like it. Yeah, yeah.
So I've got my drink. So that to me, that means my grandfather at Christmas. It sounds like an alcoholic, but it always gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling. So I'm going to raise a glass, not just to my grandfather, but to all my descendants, and say here's to whimsy, here's to tangents, sentimentality, and creativity.
Wonderful. Here's to that.
There we go. Cheers.
Cheers, Chris. And that's it for this episode of 2269. Thank you for listening. My big thanks to Chris Day for taking his time to go on a road trip with me. For more on Chris, Chris, where can people find you online?
They can find me cowering on littlecreature.org.
Excellent. Great. Is there anything else you want to leave with us before you...
I'm available for, you know, gigs, live drawing, dance-sizing lessons, and the occasional tap dance.
Beautiful. Thanks, Chris.
We've got all kinds of great guests coming up in the next episodes of 2269. They'll make you laugh. They may make you cry. They'll help us all look forward to the future. Please subscribe to 2269 on any of your favorite podcast apps. This is a production of 2269. For all news about the project and to get your own invitation to the greatest party of all time, please visit us at 2269.co. And to get in touch, you can email us at team@2269.co and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, social media at 2269oneday. This podcast has been created, edited, and hosted by me, Michael Ogden. Executive producers are myself and Peter Dean. Thanks for listening. Take care out there and see you next time on 2269.
Put it up. Keep it up. Pass it on.